Well, it's that time of year again. School is starting. We have new students in our community, and some of our community have been sent off to be new students elsewhere. And it might be a good time for us to visit again some of the thoughts from Proverbs 1 through 9. The first nine chapters of Proverbs are a series of parent-child talks. And you probably, everyone, had a series of parent-child talks in the course of your life as a child. Certain things that you remember that resonate with you, and many of those things you file away in a memory bank. You don't even know that you remember them until you have children of your own. And one day you hear your mother's words coming out of your mouth, or your father's words coming out of your mouth, and you say, "Wow, I didn't know that they scarred me that badly." But there it is. It just comes out. But in Proverbs 1 through 9, a series of topics are discussed. And I want to bring them to bear on all of our lives this morning as we go through a few of those. But I also want to start by looking at this Norman Rockwell painting. And many of you have seen this before, but I want to point out the title of it is Breaking Home Ties. And so you have a father and son sitting on the running board of the old farm truck. And they are sitting next to a train stop. Down at the very bottom, you might see the little silver of a rail, of a train rail. Sitting on the left side of the portrait, there is a red lantern and a red flag, and that's what they would use if anyone was there to catch the train. They would light the lantern and flag it down so that it would stop. Otherwise, it would just roll on through. And so they're waiting for the train. And if you look closer, you see that both father and son have ruddy hands and face because they have worked together every day for probably 18 years. In the field, in the barn, in the garden, whatever it was the family had to do, the dad was glad to have a son there to help him to get it done. You can also see that their foreheads are both white. They sort of match, don't they? Because they've had their hats on while they were out doing that work, and they go together. But there are differences. Of course, the boy is dressed in his new clean suit, complete with socks that match his tie, so you know Mama's been involved. And he has his shine shoes in contrast to his father's work clothes, stained and rumpled, and his father's work shoes, well-worn boots. Mom did not choose to make this leg of the journey. Have any idea why? Maybe it's just because there wasn't room in the truck. Maybe it's because she said her goodbyes at home, and she's there wiping her tears and letting Dad do this last really hard part himself. But she's represented not only in the socks that match the tie, but also the boy holds in his lap, you probably can hardly see it, food wrapped for his journey and tied with a pink ribbon. He doesn't mind that now. Later on, no pink ribbons for him. The dog with his head on the boy's leg is showing more affection than the father allows himself to show at this moment. Maybe the lump in his throat is too big. Notably, the father and son are facing opposite directions. One looking forward expectantly, one looking back soberly. Doesn't that represent for us the transitions that happen in life, at births and deaths, at moving away and moving in and going off to school and coming back home, and marriages and engagements and the birth of new family members in another generation? Moments that cause us to pause and look back as well as look ahead. They don't have much to say in this portrait. It seems that they're sitting quietly. I hope that when we come to moments like this in our lives, it has already been said. I sometimes smile as we're dropping our children off at school, elementary school, middle school. They don't let you drop them off at high school very much, do they? A little bit, but the things that you want to say, you know, as they're getting out, well, you know, we try. And we say, well, do this, have a good day, and all of these sort of last-minute warnings. But You have to do that every day all along the way. I want to commend you this morning for having the faith and the foresight to bring your family to worship today, to be involved in church life. I just noticed this morning as we were driving in, I happened to notice a mother out working in the yard and her five-year-old there beside her working in the yard. And I thought what a greater blessing it would be for them to not only be together, but to be together in Bible class and to be together for worship. You don't have time at the last minute to say those things and to teach those lessons. Instead, they have to be done every day. I want to encourage parents to talk. Sometimes, even when there's eye rolling, and even when someone is saying, I know, sometimes you just need to keep talking anyway. What do you think? It gets in, it gets through. After all, you were once in that situation, and you sat where they sit, and you stood in their shoes, and you remembered and you learned. Talk. Let no subject be off limits for you to discuss with your child. And to the young people, I would encourage you to talk as well. Let no subject be off limits between you and your parents. Ask your questions. Put them on the spot, if you will. Go to them with what's going on in your life and share it with them. And you will find your life easier if you do that. But since this father and son are sort of quiet, I want to borrow from Proverbs this morning about what perhaps has already been said, what might be said if they had time and if they were able to say it all at this point. So we begin in Proverbs chapter 1 this morning with verses 8 and 9. As we think about what we would say to our sons and our daughters on these occasions and all along the way. Proverbs 1, 8 and 9 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." There's a lot of this in Proverbs 1 through 9 where the father says, listen, hear, remember, pay attention. So here's the admonition that we might say this morning. Remember the talks. Remember the things that we talked about, the things that we sometimes argued about, the things that we forgave each other for. Remember the instruction, the lessons, the Bible verses read and memorized. Remember the prayers we prayed together. Remember what we talked about when we talked about dating. Remember what we talked about when we talked about why we believe in God. Remember how we talked about right and wrong and the consequences to reputations for the choices that we make. Remember the talks. Discipline comes from parents in many forms. When I say discipline, you may immediately think of punishment. And consequences for wrongdoing, punishment, is a part of discipline. But the two greatest forms of discipline that exist in the home are the example of the parents and the words of the parents. And the goal of all parental discipline, through sometimes punishment, but more often through words and example, the goal of all parental discipline is self-discipline. That's the goal, is that you will remember to brush your teeth when no one is there to tell you they've changed color. Okay? That you will remember to take a bath occasionally. That you will be disciplined enough to get out of bed and go to Sunday morning Bible study and worship. Remember the talks. In Proverbs chapter 1 still, continuing just a little further, verses 9 and 10, the father says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them." And then there's a much longer section about gangs of people wanting to get involved in bad things and saying, "Come on, go with us." Don't just make friends. Select them very carefully. Boy, that's a lot easier to say, short and sweet, than it is to do. We want to belong. We want to be involved. We want to be cool. We want to find a place of acceptance. Think twice when someone says, come on, go with us. And stop and think about what it is they want to do. Known and loved to many of us is Woodlord Thomas. He's back in Haiti now, involved in ministry and mission work there. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. And Thomas came and was in school at Freed Hardeman. Of course, English is a second language for him. He was very good with his English, but still, it's a struggle when it's a second language. He spent a lot of time studying. And I remember him telling me about an occasion where some friends on a Saturday evening said, "Why don't you come on? We're going to go over to somebody's house. We're just going to have a party, and we're going to watch some movies and just have a good time." I don't think there was anything wrong with that. I don't think it was a sinful setting. But Thomas said, "What time will we be back?" If you don't know Thomas, it's, yeah. And he liked singing two octaves down, not one. And the student said, "Well, I don't know, you know, curfews." And he's like, "Well, I need to be back by something ridiculous like 9 o'clock so that he could study, finish his homework. Someone was assigning him Greek homework. I don't know why they do that. And he needed some sleep. And the friends, good Christian friends, responded to him and said, "Well, you know what? We can have you back by then. We probably have some work we need to do as well." Now that's the influence of character. When the group says, "Let's go do this," and you say, "Well, what are we going to do? And how long are they going to be there?" And you have the self-discipline to say, "I don't know if that's going to fit in what I need to be doing." And it might be because of a moral issue. It might be because of a study issue. It might be because of just healthy sleep issues. But you might be the one who, by saying something sensible, helps others who really want to be sensible, but who are swept up in wanting to fit in. If you decide that you fit in with God's people, that you fit into the plan of God, and if you have a Christian home where you fit in and belong, you have a powerful platform from which to carefully select what activities you will do, how you will behave, and what kind of friends you will allow close to you. If sinners entice you, do not give in. Select your friends carefully. Another common theme in Proverbs comes up in chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. And there, again, in an extended poetic section, there's a description of a woman who is trying to seduce a man. I will quickly point out that very often it is men who are trying to seduce women. But this is a father talking to his son, and so it comes to us in that form. And he describes this wayward woman, "For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead, and none to go to her return or attain the paths of life." The description here in Proverbs 2, urging the son to flee from fornication, tries to get him to see the reality. Because the fact is, when sexual temptation comes, it's usually camouflaged as something great and glamorous. Frequently, even if no nudity is shown on the television screen, we have depicted for us fornication. Relationships are depicted where people who are not married go to bed together. And the sweet music plays, doesn't it? And everything is just perfect. And this is how you know that even though this couple just met at lunch today, now they're right for each other because they're in bed together after sunset. That image is hideous. The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. It's hideous. But it comes to us wrapped in shiny paper and with a bow and soft music and so popular. And we cannot help but have our hearts touched and moved, and we want that kind of romance and intimacy and belonging. And the Father says here, "I want you to see what that is. It's death." When you go down the steps into her house, he says, you're going down to hell. See it for what it is. It's not all glamorous. It's not love. It's temporary, and it hurts. It hurts us spiritually. It breaks our hearts. It puts us at risk, even physically. And the Father says, I want you to remember that when it looks so good, and as the old song says, feels so right, I want you to see it for what it really is. At the heart of all of this is one of our favorite set of verses in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Here is the Father urging the Son to daily, deliberately, constantly, always entrust yourself to the Lord. That's going to mean trusting in His Word. And when it doesn't quite seem to compute with the world that we should turn the other cheek, we're going to do that. When there are people that you would love to hate, we're going to hate and seek to love them. When there are things that you could easily take for your own but that don't belong to you, we're going to resist that. How are we going to do that? By entrusting ourselves to God. And we're going to say, I believe what God has said on this subject is true. But even more than obedience, we're going to entrust ourselves to Him for things that are out of our control. Our obedience may be under our control, but so many circumstances are not. And here is a way to have peace of mind, and it is so important to have a peaceful mind. Because without our minds being at peace, we will seek to do something to make us feel better. And that is so often what makes us vulnerable to sin. And so here is the Father's advice. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Bring those circumstances, those challenges, problems, questions, sins, needs, bring them to the Lord and lean on Him. And that means you're going to say, Lord, here's the situation. I'm trying to figure out how to deal with it. I'm trying to look for guidance from You. I'm going to do my best to try to handle this in a Christian way. But a lot of this is out of my control. And I'm just going to depend on You. If you do that every day, you'll be all right. If you haven't done it in a while, things are probably not all right. In the next chapter, sort of summarizing the discussion here at the beginning of chapter 4, is verse 7. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Got wisdom? This verse urges us to get understanding. Become a thinker. A person who stops and looks ahead. Wisdom throughout Scripture means that you think ahead about the likely consequences. The further ahead you think, the wiser you are. You think ahead about what's going to happen if I say this, if I do this, if I don't do this, if I don't say this. You think about those consequences, and it's not rocket science. You know what's going to happen 90% of the time. You know how people are going to react. You know what you're likely to do next. Become a thinker. When others are just reacting, you think one or two moves ahead. And as a result of that, you'll be blessed. Proverbs 4:23, one of my all-time favorite proverbs. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. How do you guard your heart? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful what you love and what you idolize and what you desire. You have a choice. Guard your heart. We often think of life as just happening. Life just happens to us. But this verse says that out of your heart comes life. It's the wellspring of life. How does that happen? Well, there's two parts to this. There are coming at you situations, circumstances, questions, people, relationships, information. All of this is coming at you for you to make decisions. You're going to choose actions and choose words and choose beliefs and ways that you're going to conduct your life. And out of those decisions will be your life. Out of that will be who you are, your character, your story, your history, your reputation, your future, your eternity. Not because of what comes at you, but because of what you decide to do with what comes at you. And your decision maker is your heart. Guard your heart. Protect the asset. The inner being that is you, though the body waste away. The inner man, the inner woman that is making those decisions. Guard that so that as things come and you decide, you will have a healthy heart from which to decide. Proverbs 5 and verse 8 tells us to flee fornication. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. There's another extended poetic section here about sexual sin. And in this case, there's described this certain street on which this certain woman lives. And the advice is, don't go down that street. And one of the particular applications that I think of for us today is what happens when people are bored and browsing around on the internet. Don't go near her street. And what does that mean? Well, it certainly means not looking at certain things, but maybe it means not even looking at certain things that might lead to looking at certain things. Maybe it even means not sitting around by yourself browsing on the internet when you're bored. Don't go near her door. Make a plan to stay far away from those temptations. Gotta love Proverbs 6, 9 through 11. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. That little phrase in there, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, that sounds like what I say to myself when the alarm's going off, right? You could almost make a lullaby out of that. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. But be sure you remember the next part. And poverty will come upon you, right? And let that jolt you out of bed. Sleep is a major issue for all in American society, especially for college students. You cannot be healthy in every way that God wants you to be healthy by staying up till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning on a regular basis. You need sleep in order to be emotionally stable. You need it in order to be physically well. You need it for your mind to be clear. You need it in order to retain what it was you were staying up late studying. And you need it in order to be ready on Sunday morning to be in worship. If you're having trouble being in worship on Sunday morning, ask yourself what you were doing at midnight and 1 o'clock on Saturday night. How do you do that? It's difficult. You're busy, got a lot going on. Well, you have to make some choices, but make a plan. Plan your work and plan some sleep. And then have the self-discipline to follow your plan. It's God's will for us that we would get rest, but then it's His will for us that we would get up and do what we're supposed to be doing. Number 9, flee fornication. Anybody see a pattern here? This is just following Proverbs. 3 times, there are about 10 admonitions in these first 9 chapters, major sections, and 3 times at least, the father warns the son. This time in Proverbs 7, verses 8 and 9, he describes a foolish young man. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Not smart. He's just sort of heading that direction, wandering that way. Not good. And the father is urging him to see not only that it's not glamorous as the world presents it, but to think ahead. Don't go down her street. Don't be there when it's getting dark. I encourage you all, men and women who are in dating relationships or who are seeking those kind of relationships, plan, for good settings and healthy activities. Do things with your friends. Do things in safe places. If you would be wise, as Solomon urges us. And now, what some think is the most important one. Call your mama, right? Connect with your parents. Proverbs 10 verse 1 says, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother. It is foolish to grieve your mother. Okay? There it is in black and white. I want to encourage you to remember those who have disciplined you and loved you and honor them as the scriptures urge you to honor them. Remember to connect with them, to talk with them, to share with them what's going on in your life. And parents, that phone call can go both ways, right? Go ahead and call them. Annoy them. Try to catch them doing something bad. That's okay. Call them anyway. Connect with them. And remember what it was like to be that age and to spread your wings and enjoy some independence. If we could come back to our image for just a minute, and I hope you can appreciate that this painting, we're using it as a parable, which is what it was intended, but it's like a parable this morning. One last feature I want to notice, and that is the hats in the father's hand. He's holding two hats, and they both belong, according to the artist, to the boy. One is his old farm hat, one is his new going off to college hat. And I wonder why the father's holding them. At one level, he's probably holding them just because the boy's got his hands full and the father's doing one last thing to help him. But I think we could also read into that just as the father has had great concern for the boy's past up to this point, he has equal concern for the boy's future from this point on. Whichever hat he wears, this is still his boy. And we have more than one place in Scripture where we are reminded that God is like our Father. When we are young, we find it easier maybe to think about devoting ourselves to God. As temptations arise, as we get older, it gets more difficult. And we get excited about new things, but let us remember that our Heavenly Father, who brought us this far, is not only our Father up to this point, but He is our Father, no matter what hat we wear. We may be His prodigal sons, wasting things He's blessed us with. We may be His wayward sons, even His lost sons and daughters. But His love for us is constant. Have you been wise? One of the wisest things that you could do would be to make a commitment from your heart today that you will think not only about the moment, but that you will think about the future and that you will think about eternal consequences and live wisely in a right relationship with God. If you as a child of God are not right with Him, you could take the opportunity today to let us pray with you, hear your confession of sins, and encourage you, counsel with you, study with you, whatever might be needed. If you're not a Christian, the absolute greatest way to live, even through transitions in life, is knowing that we are secure in the blood of Christ, and you could today entrust yourself to Him and be baptized into Him. If we could help you this morning, please come while we stand, sing this song together.